Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Jesus was on the boat and there was a storm and people were panicky. They were the disciples, they were jittery, they were afraid. And you know what? Jesus was on the back of the boat. What was he doing? Why? Was it foolish? No. He was just in charge. That is why if there's any storm that you are confronting, if there's any storm you are passing through, just relax. It's not easy to relax, actually. But just relax, because the one who is in charge of the whole universe is always in your boat. Hallelujah. Thanks so much, choir, for that. Thanks so much. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I will thank God for this Sunday again. Thank God for the Believers Convention. I am sure that the blessings they got there, I got mine too. Is that not strange? I am sure. I just believe. Everything is by faith, I guess. Everything is by faith. I am sure everything is by faith. So whatsoever they got there, I actually got mine too in Jesus' name. Amen. So we thank God for those that went also to represent us. As they were going on Sunday, I told them, don't worry, we'll connect wirelessly. And of course, if human beings, if scientists can come up with things like infrared, Bluetooth and microwave, how much more God, who created those people that created those things. Hallelujah. And of course, don't forget the prophets, the people God told Moses to separate his anointing on. You know, they began to prophesy. Two people were missing, elder and elder. They were in the camp. They did not come to where they were supposed to be. But they began to prophesy. So the power rested on them wherever they found themselves. So learn to connect remotely to great moves of God. Because we can't attend every meeting. That is one thing. We can't attend every meeting. But we must get everything God has got for us at every point in time. Hallelujah. Amen. It's a privilege again to be here this morning, standing in front of the people of God. You know, I keep saying that if it is to teach maths, no, while I just go with all confidence, bouncing, knowing that this thing is sure. But of course, when it comes to scripture, no matter what you think you know, you have to package. You have to make sure you are in order. Hallelujah. And I pray that this morning, God will reach out to all of us, including me, in Jesus' name. Amen. I appreciate mommy in the house this morning. Thank you for representing the big people. Thank you so much. Thank you, Pastor Ogi, Pastor Dele. Thanks for being around too. I thank everybody for the privilege to be here, because if you are not there, my being here will be useless. I hope you know that. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, like some weeks back, I think 1 month or so back, I was just ruminating and I was thinking that, it's like this New Testament thing, we still have issues with it. Like, even before, I didn't even know that Pastor was doing a series on the New Testament. I think I just mentioned it, that it's like this New Testament thing, we really have to consider it. And funny enough, the next Saturday, I started listening to Doubtosis on Air, and it was about the New Testament. I was like, oh, so thank God. And since then, it's been like this whole talk about the New Testament has been coming up. You know, the major problem we have is that it is easier to obey a set of rules and regulations. Do you understand? The Old Testament is about a set of rules and regulations. You know, for somebody like me, I like rules and regulations a lot. If you are my new, like I was telling them in the class today, I stayed with somebody when I was in 200 level. And before we started staying together, I told him, what are the things you like and what are the things you don't like? Well, I don't even remember the other things he said, but the key ones I remember is that anytime you eat, even if it is 1 a.m. or 2 a.m. or anytime, immediately you finish eating, just wash your plates. And I obey that rule strictly. And we lived in peace. In fact, that was one of my best semesters in the school. Hallelujah. So I like rules and regulations a lot. So it is easy for a lot of us to still live the Old Testament life, because we can bring it down to a set of rules. They are clearly written. You must not do this, you must not do that. Now, we have the New Testament also has written rules, but they are not so obvious. They are not listed in any particular place. You have to pick them from all over the place. So that's why it's difficult for us. So, but instead of most of us are very lazy. You know, we don't want to probe into things. We don't want to dig deep. We just want, for me, the reason why I like math is because there are rules and regulations. Just follow the rules and you'll be fine. And that's one course where you can get 100 over 100. Just follow the rules. And even if the lecturer hates you, as far as you follow the rules, you'll get 100 over 100. And there's nothing he can do about it. Hallelujah. So rules and regulations are very sweet to follow. You can see them. So you can know, once you fornicate, you remember, thou shalt not fornicate. And then you try to align again and all that. So, but we won't live to the fullest of what God has designed for us if we are not able to do the New Testament to the core. Of course, we don't have to throw away the Old Testament because it's the foundation for the New. The Old Testament contains promises that are fulfilled in the New and that are still being fulfilled. Of course, on Tuesday also, Pastor Dele told us something like, the Old Testament is not a separation, it is not a partitioning of scriptures, you know, from Genesis to Malachi is Old Testament, from Matthew to Revelation is New Testament. Fine, that has been done to help us in looking at scriptures, definitely. But technically, the Old Testament is about covenants. And, for example, if you still look at books like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, most of the greatest part of them are still in the Old Testament, because it was towards the end of those sharp scriptures that Jesus Christ died. And by dying and resurrecting, by dying he cut the covenant. By shedding his blood he cut the covenant. Of course there was need for blood and all of that in the Old Testament too. And then the Old Testament, if you look at it, I think if you read the book of Hebrews chapter 7 and 8 or so, you see the differences in the Old and the New. In the Old, it's about blood of bulls, and it has to be done from time to time. But then Jesus Christ came, he shed his own blood, and it was just once and for all. Once and for all. And that is why the focus of the New Testament is basically about the person of Christ. Everything else we do all boils down to the person of Christ. And my interest this morning is very serious, because you discover that there were still people in the Old Testament that enjoyed the New Testament more than us. Does that sound strange to you? We found people in the Old Testament, they enjoyed the New Testament that we are in. They were in the Old Testament. They didn't know anything, or maybe by prophecy they saw something ahead. And they were able to live in the New Testament, even in the Old. They were able to journey into the New. And in fact, I can say somebody like David enjoyed the New Testament more than most of us are enjoying right now. Imagine. Somebody in the Old. Now, can we look at Galatians chapter 2 verse 20? Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. The Bible says that I have been crucified. Okay, let me start from 15. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. This is Paul writing to the Galatians. We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentile sinners. Yes, we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. Of course, the Old Testament was all about the works of the law. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. Do all the works of the law you can. You cannot be justified apart from Jesus Christ. 17. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners. We are trying to be justified in Christ and then we are still found to be sinners. That's a problem. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. 18. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. I do not nullify the grace of God. So if we still want to go about with the works of the law, of course, people have misconstrued the concept of grace, thinking that grace is the liberty to do whatever we want to do. It is the liberty to be disorderly. No. In fact, Titus 2:11 or so tells us that the grace of God has appeared unto all men, teaching us to depart from iniquity and all of those things. So the fact that we are in the New Testament does not mean that we don't still have to. We are not a lawless people simply because we are under grace. No. But the only thing now is that the grace is no longer through what we do in our flesh. It is not by being human doings. You know, Andrew Womack once said, most of us would like doing things. You just want to do things so that your conscience can be satisfied. When you pray, you want to pray loud and let your word hear you, so that your conscience can tell you, guy, you have prayed. Do you understand? Of course, it's not wrong to pray loud. But when you pray loud just to show off for something, that's where it becomes a mere work of the flesh. Or when you pray loud, in fact, Jesus even respected people around him. He had to go to secluded places and all that. I do not nullify the grace of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. Now we see Christ as being the totality, as being the icon of the New Testament. It is all about Christ in the New Testament. And that is why you will not go to hell because you are a fornicator, or you are an adulterer, or an adulteress, or a liar. Do you know why you go to hell? You go to hell because you only go to hell if you reject Jesus Christ. Like, you find yourself in sin, and you cannot find the humility to go back to the cross, to go back to Christ and say, Jesus, I know you have paid for these things. Please have mercy on me. Wash away these things. Do you understand? It's about rejecting his person. You know, we can do all the works and still reject the person of Christ. And we do that by standing against the things that Christ represents, the things that he stands for. Now, Ephesians 1:3 says, okay, let me start from verse 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and are faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the Lord God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ. He has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You know, in the Old Testament, we are still looking for things. We want to keep certain laws so that we can get certain things. But Christ has made everything available in the New Testament, and all we need to do is to have him. You know, Paul is telling us in the book of Galatians that the life I now live is no longer by me. Now Christ is in me. He lives the life in me. So everything has been completed in Christ, and now Christ is in us. So it means that whatsoever you need is already there. You have been given everything you will ever need. And just like we've been told before, the only problem we have in this New Testament is that we don't always know how to receive. We always want to go back. We always want to receive New Testament promises by fulfilling Old Testament laws. And it won't work like that. Okay, God, give me this, give me that. Everything has been given already in the person of Christ. And if Christ is in us, we have it all there. If those things are not manifesting, it simply means there's something that is lacking. There's something we are not doing right. There's something we need to know. And that is how to activate those covenants, those promises, those blessings that Christ, that has been perfected in Christ. In verse 3, blessed be the Lord, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. He blessed us in Christ. He has blessed us in Christ. He blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. So every kind of blessing you can think of, every kind of blessing you can think of, as you have been blessed with that in Christ himself. And that is why the book of Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it means that the book of the New Testament, what we are expected to be doing most of the times, is thanking God for the things he has done, and thereby bringing those things down. Interestingly, an Old Testament saint understood these principles. and he was so blessed of God. And it became an eternal excellency. It became a name that must always be mentioned. And that is the person of David. And sincerely, that is the core of what I'll be talking about this morning concerning the New Testament. Now, imagine David in the Old Testament understanding some of these principles. You know, he always had a thankful heart. The Bible says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now, you're talking about health. You are talking about having good health and everything. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that he died for our sins. And all our infirmities, all our diseases, everything had been put upon him. So it means that if there are issues with sicknesses, there's something we have to lay hold of. There's something we need to understand about what Christ already did about sicknesses. Is it about prosperity? Now, you should know that salvation is not just all about giving your life to Christ and then your spirit is connected to God and then you begin to work out the salvation of your soul and everything and then ultimately your body is saved. That's fine. That's part of it. But salvation is actually a holistic thing. It's meant to touch on every aspect of our lives. Do you understand? It talks about deliverance, talks about prosperity, talks about holiness, talks about everything. So it is a total package. Everything is contained in that thing called salvation. He's saving us from everything that is a curse. He's redeeming us from the curse of the law. Now, looking at the life of David, can we see Psalms 103, Psalm 103? You know, we see an attitude of thanksgiving all through that scripture. You saw David always saying things like, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, he understood that God had freely given him certain things and was thankfully receiving those things. Now, of course, many times I always compare David and Saul. By human standards, Saul was holier than David. Do you agree with that? Saul the king was holier than David. By my standards, do you understand? What did Saul do? He was told to go and kill all the Amalekites. And then he went and preserved the good ones so that he could present an offering to God. Is that not sensible? Is that not logical? Rational? But then God rejected him because of his heart. David committed atrocities, collected people's wives, you know, did all kinds of atrocities. But he had the kind of heart that he had a New Testament heart. Can I just say that? He had a New Testament heart. He had a heart. In fact, David went into the temple and did what he should not have done ordinarily. He ate the shewbread, which no ordinary person would eat, because he had an understanding. And that's a challenge to us. And that's a challenge to us that we can begin to handle things that are not even available now. We can begin to go into editions that have not yet been released of the things God is doing. Hallelujah. But we even have a problem. Even the normal New Testament, we still have issues with it. We still struggle here and there. Can we look at Psalm 103? Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Now, bless the Lord, O my soul. To bless the Lord is to praise the Lord. To bless him is to adore him. And of course, if you are blessing him with your soul, it means that you are not just doing a casual thing. You are not just doing something at a surface level, no. You are doing something that is deep reaching. You are doing something with all your faculties, with all your emotions, with all your intellect, with everything that you have got. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. In Colossians 3:17, we read that everything you do, do it in the name of Jesus Christ, giving thanks. So, our attitude in the New Testament should be more of giving thanks. Because everything we'll ever need, everything we keep asking for has been given all together in Christ. But then we need to activate those things with our lifestyle, with our attitudes. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. See the emphasis. And forget not all his benefits. And forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. The Bible tells us that blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefit. Now, when we talk about benefits, we only think about, most of the times, we only think about monetary things and all that. They are part of the benefits. But the greatest of the benefits is that of salvation, which David later mentioned. And forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? And who heals all your diseases? Now, all your iniquity, has been forgiven in Christ. Now, if you are still struggling with guilt and all of that, it is because you have not interacted with Christ the way you should interact with Him. You have not believed in Him. You know, on Thursday, I was talking about good works. And in the scripture, we saw that good works simply, the first good work we can do is to believe in the person of Christ. That is the one that will usher you into the rest of it all. To believe in Christ. That is one serious good work. Believe in Him. Believe in what He has done. Believe in the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Believe in the fact that He had settled all of it. Now, He has paid for every sin. He has paid for every sin. The sins you have ever committed, once you ask for forgiveness, He will forgive you. The sins you will still commit, He will forgive. Of course, people hold on to that and they mess around and they say there is grace. No. But of course, the reality is the fact that anything you will still commit, if at all you will commit anything, Christ paid for it all. In fact, He paid a price that is more than generous to take care of whatever sin you can ever think of committing or you have ever thought of committing. No matter how great the sinner you might be, just like the book of Isaiah says, I think Isaiah 1:18 or so, that come, let's reason together. Even though your sin is as red as scarlet, they can be white as snow. No matter how terrible a sinner you have been, no matter how many people you have killed, no matter the amount of abortions you have committed or anything, as far as you are ready to come to this Jesus, you can be made whole. You remember Pastor Ajay talking about things like repercussion. He said, if there is repercussion, that people like him will not even last. Because Christ paid a generous price. He paid a generous price for all of those things. And David realized this. And that was why iniquity would not hold him down. He found himself in the wrong. And it was not difficult for him to humble himself and to retrace his steps back to God so that his life could be taken care of. And then God turned around and called him a man after his heart. A man that was concerned about the feelings of God. A man that was concerned about not remaining in sin. You know, some people are so proud, some believers I mean, are so proud that when they find themselves committing sin, they'll be too dejected to go back to God. That how could I have done that? Having preached a lot, having told people this and that, how could I have done that kind of grievous thing? It is some kind of pride. If you know that Christ has paid it all, please just trace yourselves back to Him and say, God, I have come again. I have come again. Just have mercy. Just deliver me. Just save me. Of course, His grace is also available. If His grace can cleanse us from all those terrible sins, His grace can even keep us from getting into them in the first place. Hallelujah. Because His grace has appeared unto us, teaching us to abstain from worldliness, from iniquity, from all of those things. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, be it diseases of the body, diseases of the soul, or diseases of the spirit, is able to cleanse all of those things, is able to reconnect us to God. The Bible tells us that when Adam fell, he died, though he did not die in the body, but the fact that he was separated from God. Now the peak of death is to be separated from God. That's the peak of it, that you don't have anything going on between you and God for good anymore. That is the peak of it all. That your soul is disconnected from Him. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity? Who heals all your diseases? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy? Who redeems your life from the pit? Who redeems your life from the pit? Do you remember the story of Ruth and Boaz? You know, Ruth was married to, she was initially married to one of Ophni and Phinehas, and they died in Moab, and he made a decision to follow Naomi back into Judah. And at the end of the day, he got married to Boaz because that was his kinsman redeemer, somebody that would take over the possessions of his dead brother and all of that. That's the kind of thing the Bible is saying that God did for us here. That He redeemed your life from the pit. We're left for dead. Sin had captured us. Sin, we're in bondage. We didn't even know our left from our right. We're darkness, just like the scripture says. We're darkness. We're not in darkness. We're basically darkness. But then the Bible tells us that He redeemed your life from the pit. And then He crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. To crown you with steadfast love and mercy, you know, Pastor Ogi was talking about mercy. That if if the mental dimension of God is removed, we are in trouble. But then the Bible tells us that who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. To crown in this context is to surround us, is to be surrounded. And that's what the Bible tells us, that it's mercy that new every morning. We have plenty of mercies to live by from time to time. That is why we have being kept. That is why we can survive. That is why we can stand. Because it is God take away his mercy from you in 1 second, and then he still have his full power. We are all gone. Hallelujah. Who has crowned you with steadfast love and mercy? Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? Now, do you know that one dimension of immortality is that our youth is renewed like eagles, even in the literal sense of it? Hallelujah. Do you know that at 80, at 90, you can still be bouncing? Yes. At a very old age, you can still be fine. Now, in fact, I think I should be able to say that. Now, look at the book of Genesis. People were dying at age 930. Somebody lived as much, up almost close to 1,000, 969. And then the thing began to drop. Immortality was dropping. When God created Adam in the first place, he was an immortal being. Do you understand? He was supposed to live forever. But then sin came in, and the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Once sin comes in, death is sure to come ultimately. Now you discover that life began to drop gradually. And right now, you can see, in fact, when somebody dies at 60, you can even still convince yourself that, he has tried, 60. Now, in the literal sense of the word, God is able to renew even our youth like that of the eagle. He can always recreate us. He can always recreate us. So this old thing we are talking about can even come down. It should affect every aspect of our life, even our bodies. Hallelujah. So if you have a deep understanding, now the concept is bless the Lord, oh my soul, because we have to have an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, you won't thank God properly. You won't bless him properly. You won't praise him properly if you don't understand the things he has done. If you don't understand the depth of the things he has done. You can hear the things he has done and you may not understand. And I think that's why, even me sometimes, I still don't worship God the way I really think I should worship him. Hallelujah. Who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? God can renew us in our work with him from time to time. Why is it that some people, you know, there's a concept I came across, you know, many years ago. It came up again during the week. And it's something about midlife crisis. You know, people they have built a career, they have built a work with God, they have built a marriage and all that. And then they get to 45, 50, 55, 60. And then you discover that they begin to go against the same things that they always stood for. And they said it is midlife crisis. That maybe it's a kind of boredom and all of that. But in communion with God constantly, working with God constantly, I don't think, if his message are new every morning, it means that there are truths about him, that there are things about him will keep learning every second, and they will be new and will keep being renewed from time to time like that. They'll continually be, will never get bored. He renews your youth like the eagle's youth. You know, the eagle, after some time, the eagle will go on a retreat and then come back strong and better. And that is exactly the kind of thing. Of course, we know that everything God has created talks about the Christ in a way or the other. And the eagle is one of those things. It is always renewed. And that is why the Bible says in the book of Isaiah that those that wait upon the Lord will have their strength renewed like that of the eagle. They will run and not faint. Is it easy to run and not faint? In fact, even the fastest man on earth, what's his name again? Usain Bolt, he will win everything, but you see him gasping for breath. But then the Bible is saying that you will run and not be weary. You will walk, you will not faint. Because of the complete thing Christ has done already. Because we are meant to be renewed from time to time. Because we are not supposed to get to a point where we are fagged out, where we are just tired, where we are weary. No. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. He made known his ways. His ways can talk about the course of his life. God revealed everything about him to Moses. And sincerely, that he wanted to reveal the thing he revealed to Moses, he wanted to reveal it to the whole of Israel. So it means that we have to step beyond Of course, we are used to his act, and that is one problem we still have. You know, one way to judge if somebody was successful, if somebody was really following God in the Old Testament, is the things you have, your prosperity, even in the flesh. Others, everything else, the whole thing about the Pharisees was that, you know, for us to know that you are really serving God, you are really worshiping God, then we want to see how many calves you have, if your crops are not failing. Because that was what the Old Testament was about. You know, God told them, if you obey me, you will have good yields in your farmland and everything. Those were signals to prosperity back then. But now, yes, we have that. But we have so much more. Because God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Those earthly things will be there too. But they are not the main issues. The Lord works right. Okay, so he made known his ways to Moses, his course of life. He revealed to Moses. But then his acts was made known to the people of Israel. They were only seeing his miracles, his supernatural demonstrations, his ecstatic things and all that. But Moses was able to know his ways. Moses was another man that handled grace, even in the Old Testament. For example, most of the things that Israelites were doing, he was ahead in a way. He even married an unbeliever, so to speak. And God didn't have a problem with that. The Jews had a problem with it. But I don't know God called him, and then he married an unbeliever. So in the sense that he married not among the Jews. And at some point, Moab, his siblings had an issue with that. But God had no problems. As far as he was on the same page with God, he was seeing things more than the Israelites were seeing. They were just following his acts. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. There's this compassion about him. There's this mercy, like we've been talking about him, that will always keep us. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. You know, he's angry. Even right in the Old Testament, he's angry with you. Then you just cry to him, and he's back with you again. He's prospering you. Then you go into sin again, and he spanks you. You come back. As far as it asks for his forgiveness, he's always ready to do it. Hallelujah. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, as removed as the east is from the west. That is, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. That is, if we hand them over to him. Because he has completed all of that in the person of Christ. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he who knows our frame, welcome, Pastor. He remembers that we are dust. He knows our frailty. But of course, God knows our frailty, but most of the times we are too proud to know that we are frail. And that is why the surest way to be strong with God is to always make him know that you are weak. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit. You always acknowledge that you cannot do anything of your own. That is your strength, is your sustainer. By his strength you are made strong. But then, as frail as we are, and God knows that we are weak, some of us still take it upon ourselves, thinking we are macho, we are strong, and nothing can happen to us. Hallelujah. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. And its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. And those who fear him and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant, and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. His angels are his messengers. And having this kind of understanding that David had will help us to always bless him, to always do everything with thanksgiving, like the book of Colossians chapter 3 verse 17 has told us. So we must come to terms with the realities of the New Testament, knowing that there's nothing you need again that Christ has not already provided. And then all we need to do is to be in conjunction with Christ, to have that intimate fellowship with Christ, and things will freely flow. Things will just freely flow. you know, when I was trying to put up the message, Pastor Billy, preached on Tuesday on the internet, I wanted an image for it, and I saw this thing that if you are intimate with God, the supernatural will become natural with you. You know, there will just be an interchange of information, and then you begin to do things, and people wonder, where is this guy from? Hallelujah. Can we rise this morning? That God wants to get to that point where the New Testament becomes very real to us. Where the New Testament becomes more real to us than even the Old. Of course, the Old is the foundation for the New. The Old is a template for the New. But of course, if there's a New, it means that we have to up our game. We have to take our games to a higher level. Can we pray that God will take us to that point where we can actually interact with the Old Testament, New Testament at the level God wants us to, that we'll be able to handle the realities of that New Testament as seen in the person of Christ. That everything God has freely given us, all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places that God has put inside Christ, that we'll be able to handle these things, we'll be able to touch them, we'll be able to enjoy them to the fullest. That no longer will the devil blind us in the mighty name of Jesus. And we'll always have that attitude of gratitude unto God, always blessing Him, knowing that He has given us all freely, and have access to all that He has given in the name of Jesus. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His own. Sing like never before. It's grace, Your grace, I'm nothing without You.
We hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pdtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Futa South Gate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pdtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you. It's your grace.